Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
I'm going to ask for you to turn in your Bible to John chapter 15 and then look up here. And I'm so excited for our church to participate in this fast, this time of seeking God. And the Lord has laid a series on my heart that I believe is going to support this time of fasting. And as I was mentioning before, what I want to believe God for the way we start this year is that God, that something deep would take place that goes way beyond, you know, resolutions. But that it would be something deep and strong. I was joking with one of the guys in the office. He turned 35 this week. And I was saying, oh, I remember that way back when, you know, back in the day. And, you know, I'll be turning 50 this year. And and after being in the pastorate, you know, for 20 years, so much has changed. So much has changed. And when you start in the ministry, you kind of just want to do well. Because let me tell you something, this is not an easy business. Pastoring, preaching, counseling people, you know, shepherding people, it's not an easy business. But for the most part in the beginning, you just want to do well, you know. But then the years go by and you grow in your calling. And then what you care about the most is that your people are doing well. That's what you care about the most, you know, is that you would be doing well. That you would be walking with God. And I know I've been saying that a lot lately, but I'm saying it a lot because it's what's in my heart. And because I know it's God's heart. You see, we're going to go to heaven one day. This is all gonna be wiped away. And how many know we are called to live for that day when we see him face to face? How many would say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. And I want to encourage you, especially encourage the young people. Listen, lift your eyes to Christ in 2016. That's kind of what we're going to be focusing on today. A way to focus and connect so that we could really be in tune with God's purpose and power and fulfillment for our lives. And there's a kind of a unique way I want to introduce this series. The title of the series, I'll tell you up front, is called The Abiding Series. The title of the series is Abiding. And in a moment, we're going to be reading some verses where Jesus says, abide in me, and I want to abide in you. God wants us to abide in him. And all sorts of things. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about all of the amazing things that will happen for us in 2016 if we just abide in Christ. Now, the first time I heard the word abide, honestly, was not in a sermon. The first time I heard abide was actually in a song. And the Lord, when I was preparing this, the Lord brought this song to me that I heard. And this is not biblical per se, but it is a pastoral observation that I want to say in the beginning of the message so that it could frame our conversation. And forgive the personal reference, but you know, I just feel like I'm supposed to do this. So when I first became a Christian and started to going, I didn't grow up in church. I started going to church really. I got saved on a baseball field when I was 17 years old, and I started going to church for the first time when I was 18 years old. It took me almost 6 months to actually meet a Christian. And so I was reading the Bible on the sneak because I didn't want people to think I was a kook, right? I was a baseball player reading the Bible on the sneak, and then I actually met a Christian baseball player in college. And then like a year later, I finally started to actually go to a church, and which completely changed my life, is the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And it was at the Brooklyn Tabernacle that I heard a song called Abide With Me. I want to read the story to you. About this song. Listen to this. Henry Francis Light, this was 1793 to 1847, and his wife Anne were faithful pastors of a little fishing town in Devonshire, England, for 23 years. Although Henry's health was compromised, he worked tirelessly ministering to his parish, taking care of his family, and writing poems and hymns. In 1844, Henry was diagnosed with tuberculosis. Over the next 3 years, his physical condition deteriorated until finally, on September 4th, 1847, at the age of 54, he stood in the pulpit for the last time to deliver his farewell message. That same afternoon, after taking a walk on the beach, Henry retired to his room. He emerged about an hour later with a written copy of Abide With Me, the song you're going to hear in a moment. He left soon after for a trip to Italy to get away from the cold, damp coastal weather. And while en route to his destination, he mailed a revised copy of Abide With Me to his wife. A few days later, while resting in a hotel on the French Riviera, Henry went home to be with Jesus. A fellow clergyman, another pastor, who was with Henry during his final hours, reported that his last words were, "Peace! Joy!" Exclamation point. The last two words that he uttered were, "Peace! Joy!" Then he slipped into eternity. And then Abide With Me was put to music by William H. Monk, and made his debut at his memorial service. And I asked Christian if he could sing this song today. Okay, because today's message, hopefully I can say this concisely, but today's message is about getting close to God. That's what this is all about. And I want you to hear this song, and then I want to just say a couple of things, and we'll read the text. And move through. Fail and
Where is death's sting? Where, grave, thy victory? I triumph still.
Where is death's sting? Where, grave, thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. That comes directly from John chapter 15. If you could put that up, I want to read the inspiration for that. And I want to read the challenge for this coming year. Jesus said, these are the words of Christ himself. Jesus said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And then here's the key verses, guys. In fact, why don't we read this verse 4 together? Ready? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Let's keep going. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, see, this is the key to 2016. Okay? Look at me for one moment. This message stands in direct contradiction to any kind of goal of being successful in 2016. Some people want to be successful in 2016, but that success that they're longing for is very self-centered and man-centered. This is defining true success for us. Okay? This is true success. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like branches and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is powerful stuff. Now listen to this. By this, my Father is glorified. Okay? By this, the Father will be glorified through the people, through the members, through the churches, through the children of God. Okay? By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you. And then lastly, let's read these last words. Ready? And that your joy may be full. And we'll talk about this on the third week, but I want to say up front, okay? If you want to have an amazing 2016, okay? If you want the year to end, abide in him, and I guarantee you, your joy will be full. That is the promise of the word of God. Now, before we get into this message very quickly, can I tell you something? The first time I heard abide in me, I was thinking, it just a flash came to me. The first time I heard Abide in Me, that song kind of embarrassed me. It embarrassed me because I was about 18 years old, and I was a kid from Brooklyn, And when I heard this song, I was deeply moved by it. Like, I needed the truth of the song, but I was embarrassed because I thought about, if the guys in my neighborhood saw me crying and singing this song, what would they say? You know? Like, I felt, it's like, I was right in church and the devil was shaming me into not abiding. Another thing about this song, it was so intimate that I felt like my heart is so ugly and I'm battling with so many sinful things in my life. How could I say, abide in me, Jesus? You don't want to be here. You know? And so as we go to frame this, here's something that I believe has happened. And I want to say, don't let the devil do this to you. And this happens especially to men. Okay? Don't let the devil do this to you. You see, Jesus said, I want you to abide in me. And if you abide in me, I will make you fruitful. I will make you powerful in the spirit. You will pray and you will get answers. I will make you joyful. That's what we're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about. But see, what the devil does is the devil tries to shame us out of abiding in him. It's the devil tries to get us to, you know, it's not politically correct, okay, to lift your hands in public. It's not politically correct to express your heart to God, to sing to God. That's not cool. What are people going to think about me? Do you realize that the devil is shaming us out of our blessings? And I want to speak to you, brothers, because listen, there is a desperate need for men to lead in the seeking of God. We have to set the example of seeking God. The Bible says in the book of Timothy, let men everywhere lift up holy hands. Okay? Men everywhere, every day, all day, need to be lifting up holy hands saying, I want to abide with you, God. I want to be close to you so you will make me fruitful, so that you will get glory from my life, so that my children will see the fruit of my life and follow the example that I set, oh God. Don't let the devil shame you out of abiding. Do you know how many church services are dead? They're so dead. Is church supposed to be a dead place? No. How many know when we gather together, we should, how many have come to abide with him? Hallelujah, 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 Lord. And you know what? I really believe that the Holy Spirit reminded me of that moment because I had to get over it. I had to get over. If I was going to grow in God, I had to get over all of that shame and worldliness and carnality and self-centeredness. I had to get over it. And let me tell you something. If you're going to grow in God this year, you got to get over that. Get over it so that you can grow and be blessed. It's a work of the enemy. It's a lie from the pit of hell. That's what has to happen, guys. And the men need to lead the way. Oh, God, abide with me. So very quickly, I got to say this quickly. Okay, very quickly, let's talk about what this text is saying. What does abide mean? Abide means to remain in, to continue to exist in a state of deep connection. Abide, Charles Ross put it this way. He said, it's the mysterious oneness that makes Jesus the true source of our spiritual life and fruitfulness. There is a mysterious connection. It's a mysterious oneness because we can't see God. But we believe in God and we've invited him into our hearts. It's a mysterious oneness in the same way that I'm one with my wife. We are one. Right? When you get married, the two become one. There's a mysterious oneness. There's a mysterious oneness in the same. We all know this. Listen, there's a mysterious oneness in the same way a mom is connected to a child. She carries that child. Henry was telling me he's a professional basketball player. He could be overseas and sometimes his mom will call him and say, how you doing? I just had a feeling about how you doing. How many know what I'm talking about? We were joking about the fact that I was telling them, this is crazy, okay? This is crazy. But when the night that Annie was about to be born, we started getting ready to go to the hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning. We didn't call anybody. You know, we actually had someone there to stay with Susie. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning and we started getting ready. Well, we didn't call anybody. We were just getting ready to go, get the bags, you understand. Right at the same time, 3 hours away, her mother wakes up. And her father says to her mother, what are you doing? She says, Chrissy's gonna give birth tonight. I gotta take a shower. She takes a shower, she does her hair, she gets all dolled up. She drives 3 hours, no phone call. She drives 3 hours, she shows up at the hospital, and she's right there when Annie is born. Amazing. What is that? You know, it's a mysterious oneness and connection. What I'm talking about, all of us know. All of us know what I'm talking about, except it's between you and God. God wants to have that same deep, mysterious connection. It's a mysterious oneness that if you set your face to seek him and to know him, this will be the greatest year of your life. He says, abide with me. God wants to connect with his people. Listen to this. Charles Simeon said this. I'm quoting greats today, great men of God throughout history. This union is not natural to any. We are by nature plants of a degenerate vine. We are, however, separated from it by almighty power and are made willing to be united to Christ. We are then engrafted into Christ by the Spirit on God's part and by faith on our part, on ours. Thus we become branches of the true vine, and the union, when formed, is intimate and inseparable. What I'm talking about is deep. What I'm talking about is intimate, and like how do you explain a mother knowing that her daughter is giving birth? You know what I mean? How do you explain that? You know what? There are connections that go beyond education and all of the things of this world. It's the Spirit of the living God. Don't live 2016 and not be tuned in to the Spirit of Christ. Because that's what's going to bring the joy and the victory and the fulfillment and the purpose and all of the things that we are really longing for. So let's look at this very, I'm going to race through some points here for us to remember. Number one, abiding is God's heart for us. Hallelujah. Abiding is God's heart for us. Abiding has its roots in the nature and desire of God. He said, I am the true vine. Everyone say true vine. There's a lot of fake vines trying to get you to connect to them. Okay, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me and I in you. Jesus is inviting you. It is the heart of God. He desires for us to abide. He wants it. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you go to school or where you work. Right where you are. It could be Northwestern. It could be University of Chicago. It could be an elementary school. It doesn't matter where you are. How many know? Wherever. You could be a lawyer. You could be a judge. It doesn't matter where. God wants to have this deep, intimate, inseparable connection with us in this coming year. It's powerful. It's God's heart. And it's important for us to understand it is his desire. Now, let me build a quick theological argument for you in regards to the fact that it's God's heart. Okay, abiding is God's heart in three very important ways for you to know. Okay, first of all, it's God's heart for us corporately. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says, Exodus 25:8 says, then have them make a sanctuary. Next service, I want tabernacle. Because here's what it says. It says, then have them make a tabernacle for me, and I will dwell among them. Okay? Do you know what tabernacle means? You know what Chicago tabernacle means? Our focus, our calling, our purpose, our name is very deliberate. Because what we want to be is a place where the people of God abide with God. This is the dwelling place of God, where we abide with Him. How many would say amen? We are called to abide with Him in this place. Tabernacle means to abide. It means to dwell. I want to tabernacle with my people. He wants to tabernacle with you in your house. But every time we gather together, brothers and sisters, this is what, from the very beginning, this is what he was teaching. Now listen, this is also a legal reality. It's not just corporately, it's also legal. So legally speaking, right, look at what Hebrews says. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. Everyone say, on my behalf. You know why Jesus was sacrificed and when he went before God? Okay, you know why he was crucified? He did that on our behalf. And it says, he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, here's what this means. It means that when the devil is trying to shame you in 2016, and you know that the Spirit of God says, abide with me, draw near to me, but you're like, wait a second, you don't know what I did last night. You don't know what I did for New Year's. You don't know where I've been. You don't know where I went. But listen, on our worst day, we have one who goes before the Father. He is the great high priest, and he shows the blood to the Father. I've paid the price. I've paid the price so that we always have access to the Father. Every day, every moment, the moment you turn and say, I need you, from your deepest, darkest place of sin, you can turn and say, I need you, and he receives you. He says, come abide with me. Can we praise God that that's the way he receives us? Hallelujah. Always remember the moment you could be in the middle of sin, the moment you just turn and say, Jesus, right there. He's right there. He says, come, abide with me. I'm going to clean you up. I have the blood. Aren't you thankful that the blood can make us clean? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let the past shame you out of abiding in the present. Don't let it happen. It's already paid for. Then lastly, then it becomes individually. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me and I in you. Now that you is not kind of like Brooklyn, where guys say, use guys. Okay? That's not what that means. It means you. It means every individual. God is inviting us to not just say, wow, Pastor Dave has a close walk with God, or Chrissy has a close walk with God. You know, those people, that's for those people. No. It's for every single one of us. How many know he wants to be close to every single one of us? Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the first thing that is important for us to understand is this is literally the heart of God. When you think about 2016, a lot of people focus on in many occasions, they can focus on all the wrong things. Sometimes we even change. We tailor our theology, right, to fit our earthly desires instead of having our earthly desires be shaped by what God, by the heavenly desires. You see? And so it is the heart of God for us to abide with him. Now, here's the second thing that it says, if somebody could come. Abiding makes us strong. Someone could come to the keyboard now. Abiding makes us strong. Abiding, there's a very natural example. Abiding is what leads to strength. Look at what the Bible says here. Okay, abiding leads to strength. It says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless, everyone say unless. The branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Okay, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And then everyone, let's read this together. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's what it means. It means without abiding, there's no strength. There's no strength. So it's like, here's the way the Lord put this in my spirit, okay? The Lord showed me a lot of people, especially the brothers, a lot of them want to serve God. You want to serve God. You want to honor God. You sit here and in the sincerity of this moment, it's like, yes, I would love to honor God and glorify God. Young women, young people, you want to serve God. I was talking to my nephew and my son and one of the other brothers. They came back from the encounter, from the retreat, which was very powerful. And we talked for hours. Their hearts had been in the presence of God, and I could feel this unique openness. And we were talking about, they were like, we want to serve God. How do you do it? And Pastor Jake walked in this morning and said that one of the teenagers said, you know, how did he put those words? Tell me real quick. Yes, so here's what a teenager said. You know why? Because he was abiding. What the teenager said is, Pastor Jake, here's what God is making real to me. I always wanna serve God and do things for God all the time. But what God is showing me is that I can try to do things for him, but if I try to do things for him, I can't do it. What God is showing me is that I need to do things with him. How many want that 15-year-old revelation? Hallelujah. You can't be strong if you don't abide. You can't. That's why when people, say, yo, I really messed up. I say, you messed up? I say, you better get close to God then. How many know the moment when you mess up, that's, you know what the sign is? Get close to God. You know? It's like, if you come out of your face to someone, what does that tell you? Go get close to God. Because what you need is to abide, because in ourselves, how many know, there's no strength apart from him. We can do what? Nothing. But let me tell you something. If you abide in him, doesn't matter where you grew up, doesn't matter what your personality is, doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter what your reading level is. Doesn't matter what you scored, on your high school, on your SAT or your whatever. None of those things matter. None of those things matter. Okay? If you connect to him, if you abide in him, he abides in you. He not only makes you strong, but then the last thing, this is so powerful, but the last thing starts to happen, which is this, is abiding makes us fruitful. Everyone say fruitful. You see, so many people, they're even praying, God, give me a successful year in 2016. Right? But I want to change that prayer in a few moments. Instead of saying, God, give me a successful year, I want to pray, God, give me a fruitful year. Make us fruitful. Abiding leads to fruitfulness. Look at this very quickly, and then we're just about done here. He said, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, Guys, let's read these five words. Ready? He will bear much fruit. Much fruit. Everyone say much fruit. Okay? But you don't understand. Pastor Toledo, do you realize my personality? The power of God can surpass your personality. Do you realize my hang-ups and my past? Let me tell you something. When that connection with the vine, so you have the tree, right? The tree is connected to the trunk. Or in this case, okay, it's literally a vine. So the tree is connected to the vine is thicker and stronger, and then these branches start to go out. Okay, and as the branches through this connection, it's through the connection, as the branches through the connection stay connected, then all of a sudden fruit starts to grow. Now, okay, the branch doesn't go, and then a fruit comes out. That's not it's just natural. It's just natural. God will make you fruitful. He'll make you a fruitful wife, a fruitful friend, a fruitful husband, a fruitful worker, a fruitful student, fruitful in every way, a fruitful usher, a fruitful minister, a fruitful teenager, wherever you find yourself in life. How many know? It's His desire that we would bear much fruit. Look. What is fruit? Fruit is the, listen to this. Fruit is the produce of the branch by which men are refreshed and nourished. Fruit is not for the branch. Okay, this is why we need to shift it. Look at me for a second. We need to shift it from success to fruit. From success to fruitfulness, okay? Because what we want to do, we want it to count. How many want your life to count in 2016? Amen? So watch. Okay, it says, the fruit is not for the branch, but for those who come to carry it away. As soon as the fruit is ripe, okay, the branch gives it off to begin its work of contribution and to prepare its work for another season. And so, if you want to have a powerful, a blessed year, an amazing year, then what we have to recognize is that we have to open up our hearts and connect to God so that wherever we go, we actually are like a blessing wherever we go, because people can come and eat fruit from our lives. Let me tell you, if you have a fruitful year at the end of the year, okay, if I could simply state it, let me say it this way. You take care of God's business, and God will take care of your business. Don't let that, I got to work hard. I got to make money. I got to make some money, you know. Forget about that, okay? Obviously, God wants you to be fruitful on your job. Do you realize if you're an incredible worker and you honor Christ while you're an incredible worker, don't you think people say, yo, I need some of that stuff he's got? Right? Okay? If you're a lazy worker, well then, you're not going to, no fruit from lazy. How many found lazy people don't get fruit? Lazy people get nothing, honey. That's what they get, nothing. Right? So obviously you're going to work hard this year, but there's work, and then there's work that is fruitful. That's the kind of year that we're talking about. That God would make us incredibly fruitful. Listen, let me finish this quote by Andrew Murray, and then we're going to close. A fruit-bearing tree lives not for itself, but wholly for those to whom its fruit brings refreshment and life. And so the branch exists only and entirely for the sake of the fruit. To make glad the heart of the vine dresser is its object, its safety, and its glory. One of the key verses, and I want you to read John chapter 15, this month. Read it over and over and over again and meditate on it. The Bible says in verse 8, this is in one of the key verses of the whole passage, is this. It's that, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." That's what God wants for us this year. When we abide, then we could be fruitful. And here's how I want to close today. I want to pray that God would give us the grace. And this is why this fast is so amazing, guys. Okay? Because whatever you give up, okay? So how do we do this? Whatever you give up, okay? If you give up a meal for lunch, well, guess what time it is when you give that up? It's time to go and what? Abide. Okay? Whatever you set aside, when you get that desire to check in on Instagram, okay, get a heavengram. I don't know what you would call it, but get a connect. I know that's corny, but you get what I'm saying. Reach out and connect to God instead of being tuned into what everyone else is doing. I'm telling you. Say, "God, what are you doing? What do you want to do? God, it's to your glory that I would bear much fruit. God, make me fruitful, God." I'll close with this. I was talking to my son and my nephew Luke and one of the brothers, Gary, the other night. And I was telling them how we didn't, I didn't even have one of those. When I had those phones, when I was 21, those phones hadn't even come out yet. They're still the hard plastic with the round cord like that. You know what I mean? So phones, we had nothing to check on. Our lives were not like that. And technology is a blessing, but it could also be a curse. You know, because it can make your life so noisy. But I was telling them that life was less noisy. And I had the benefit of having some good friends, you know, when I got to the church. And I had a friend, his name was Jimmy, and we would hang out. He was a police officer, and he used to say to me all the time, "Al, let's go take a walk in the park." I was like, "Jimmy, it's 11:30 at night, bro. You're going to take a walk in Prospect Park? They kill people in that park." He was there. I said, "Don't worry, I'm packing." And it's a true story. Listen, we would go for a walk. I was a young believer. And I pray that you do this for, please do this for somebody. Please, please do this for somebody. Because I was a young believer. I didn't know heads or tails about anything in God. And you say, "Come on now, let's go." And we would walk. And it was like this. It was like Jimmy walking and me walking. We would walk. And Jimmy would start to praise God. He's not a pastor today, but let me tell you, he's your pastor. He's impacted your life. And Jimmy would walk and he would start to go like this, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." And I'm walking behind like this, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." And I'm walking with Jimmy. But let me tell you something. We would walk and then all of a sudden it was like a line. It was like a line. And we would walk and Jimmy would be, "Hallelujah, hallelujah. God inhabits the praises of his people." And he would cross that, and it was like an invisible veil that we would, it was like a curtain. And he would walk, he'd be, "Hallelujah." And all of a sudden, I would feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. And I learned how to worship God and say, "Hallelujah, God. I love you, God. I worship you, God. I want to abide with you, God. I want to be close to you, God." Let me tell you, start going on those walks. And when you, as you start to tap in, because let me tell you, if you take 2016, okay, shut off the TV. You know, who cares what the novelas are saying? My stories. Turn it off. Turn it off. The devil will try to shame you and say, "Oh, you're in this room alone. What are you doing in this room alone?" Say, "God, I'm here to abide with you, God. I'm here to abide with you, God. Don't let him shame you. Amen. Don't let him shame you out of getting close to God this year. Amen. Say, God, I'm here to meet you, Lord. I'm in the basement, God. But Lord, wherever I go, that's where you are, Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, he said, build me a tabernacle so that I can dwell, so that I could abide with my people. And I want us to pray now. I want you to take the hand of the person next to you. This is the way we're going to close. We're going to do corporately. We're going to pray corporately for what will happen individually as we walk out of this place. All day we can be connected. The vine doesn't connect for 15 minutes. The vine is connected 24/7 to the branch. And the branch is connected 24/7 to the vine. So we're going to pray now, God, instead of making us successful in 2016, God, make us fruitful. Come on, let's pray. Make us a fruitful people. Help us to abide, oh God, so that we would be fruitful, oh God. Make us fruitful. Make us fruitful, oh God. Lord, we desire, God, let our connection with you be deep. Let the connection be deep in 2016, oh Lord. For young people, oh God. God, for students, oh God, let the connection with you be deep, stronger than the pull of the culture, stronger than the pressure of this world, oh God. Oh God, remove the noise so that we, oh God, can be connected and we can be fruitful. Help us, teach us to abide, oh God, in 2016. Do it by your mighty power, for your glory and for your honor, God. Let every person become strong and fruitful, oh God, in 2016, we pray. We thank you and we believe you for all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Could we put our hands together and clap to him before we go?